Consider the five-letter word S-O-U-N-D, sound. Sometimes today in conversations we'll hear people say, well, I'm not for sure that that is a sound congregation. Or maybe in talking about a certain preacher, is he sound? What do we mean by that word sound, S-O-U-N-D? I decided to do a little research about the word, particularly in dealing with brethren, with people, in light of what the Bible has to say. And it seems to me that there are at least five different types of sound people. Three of these are not too good. Two of them are very outstanding. In fact, we need a balance of the last two in order to really be able to do the Lord's work. Let me share with you for a few minutes our thinking along this line. There are some people that are all sound. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He's talking there about people who are basically all sound, maybe more noise than sound sometimes. But particularly here, he said there are those who are hypocrites that they want to get out in the streets and sound off. Let people know they're there and let people know what they're doing. They are basically all sound. Here in this particular passage, he seems to be talking about those who like to boast. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter in verse 2, just a few verses before where Don read a few minutes ago, he lists some of the problems associated with perilous times, and one of the first that's mentioned is that they are boasters. They like to boast of themselves. I would guess that even some of you young folks tonight can think of friends that you have or acquaintances who always like to boast about what they can do. Doesn't make any difference what you do or what you talk about. They can always do it better. Maybe in many instances they really can't do it at all, but they think they can do it better, or they tell you they can do it better. They're always boasting about it. They're nothing but sound. They are all sound, sounding the trumpet of bragging. Are there those who described in Matthew 23 and verse 3, the Pharisees and the scribes, and here again he calls them hypocrites, and he said, they say and do not. You see, they're all sound. They don't do anything. They're just always talking about what they're going to do. Sometimes we say a person talks a better talk than he walks the walk. That person is sort of all sound. Again, in James, the 3rd chapter, 9 through 12, he talks about how people allow themselves to use the tongue to curse men and to swear, to take the Lord's name in vain. And I don't know that this observation could be proven, but it seems to me that the people who are the weakest are the loudest. And the people who do the least can talk the most, and those who really have the least confidence in themselves are the ones who are always using those big words to take the Lord's name in vain and to swear and to curse. They're all sound. Always talking about what they can do and many times using the Lord's name in vain. I happened to be sitting somewhere recently listening to some people talk. And I just observed one of the men. I don't know who he was. I have no idea what his background was. But I don't think he made a sentence while I was listening that he didn't take the Lord's name in vain. And I just wondered what kind of person that was when it came to really doing something. There are those who are all sound in the form of tattlers, busybodies and tattlers. 1 Timothy 5:13, it's described that way. Even some of the little kids begin to learn to tattle on others, and they are always ready to run and tell somebody about it. And then when we get a little larger and a little older, it becomes rumors. And we hear this, and we spread it, and we talk about it, and we tell somebody about it. And go to the extreme of the person who said, I'd better hush, I've already told you more than I heard. Sound brethren, sound people. There are those that are nothing but sound. And then if you look at God's word, it seems that there are those who are sound asleep. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 30, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, I'm not just talking about those who sleep during the sermon. I jokingly said a few minutes ago, we have a family here tonight who maybe has a logical reason to go to sleep during the sermon. Their last name is Yawn, Y-A-W-N. But I'm talking about those who are sound asleep as far as life is concerned. They really don't know what's going on. They're not with it. Sometimes they don't even have a clue as far as work is concerned, as far as the family is concerned. And lo and behold, in the work of the church, sometimes that's the case. People who are sound asleep as far as the Lord's work is concerned. It's amazing that the number of times in the Bible that we're told, awake, thou that sleepest. Get out of your sleep, overcome your sleep, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The book of Proverbs talked about where there is no vision, the people perish. And the New Testament says, awake thou that sleepest and are dead, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then there's the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 that were wise and the 5 that were foolish. And you remember the 5 that were asleep, as it were, as they were waiting for the Lord's return. And in this case, they were asleep without being prepared. Here again, I don't know that I could prove the observation, but it seems to me that most of the time, those who are asleep on the job, spiritually speaking, may be those who are the least prepared if the Lord were to return. But it is definitely true that we have those who are sound asleep. They don't want to be awakened. They do not want to be bothered. They do not want to be involved in the Lord's work. They're just willing to sleep and let somebody else do the Lord's work. So we have those who are all sound, and we have those who are sound asleep. And then there's a third category, and I suppose that this one may be a twin or a triplet to the last two that we have just mentioned, but there's an interesting statement in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. You know the love chapter. Had you ever noticed this? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Evidently, the idea of a sounding brass there would be almost like a drum. It's hollow on the inside, but if you beat it on the outside, it'll make a sound. And maybe the idea of the tinkling cymbals will go along that with that to some extent. Someone in commenting on this said both of these suggest something that is noisy and worthless. Noisy and worthless. You know, many times we will tap on something to see if it's sound or if it's hollow on the inside. And if you have a big ball that's made out of brass or something like that and you tap it, you can tell by the sound that it makes whether or not it's really something on the inside, or it's just hollow on the inside. I wonder sometimes how many of us might be described in that way. We're told to hold fast to the sound words in 2 Timothy 1:13. Here again is our word sound, used in a positive sense. Hold fast to the sound words and not be like a sounding brass. The more I live, the more I'm convinced that one of the qualities of being a Christian that is so needed, especially in working with young people, is the quality of sincerity. If you're not sincere with young people, they'll find it out pretty soon. In fact, I guess this is true with every generation. You and I have had the experience of meeting someone and thinking, oh, this person is just outstanding and maybe almost perfect, and then as we get to know that person, we realize that it's basically the crust that's on the outside, that there's no reality to the person on the inside. That this is sort of like that first point, all sound, but like a sounding brass. Looks good on the outside and maybe even sounds good in some ways, but when you sound it a little bit more, you find out that there's really nothing on the inside. There are a few things in life that are more important than being sincere in living for Jesus Christ. Our associations with each other are based upon that. And if we're going to have successful associations in any relationships that we have, it's important to be sincere and be real to the core. Have you ever had somebody say that? Well, I tell you what, that person is golden to the core. What does that mean? Just the opposite of the sounding brass. That person is real right down to the very center of his life, whereas the sounding brass looks good on the outside. And yet when you really thump it and you really sound it and you really consider it, it's hollow on the inside. So these are the three types of sound people that we don't need in our families, in the church, in the community. If we're just all sound, bragging about what we're going to do, if we're sound asleep, or we're like the sounding brass, hollow, just with a crust on the outside, we're going to have problems in our families, in the community, and in the church, anywhere. But there are two ways in which the word is used in the Bible that are positive ways. One was even included in the passage that Don read. He mentioned sound doctrine. Now, it's mentioned there in a negative sense that the time would come when there would be those who would not endure sound doctrine, but the positive of that is those who would endure sound doctrine. Almost every time before I go somewhere to conduct a gospel meeting, I call, if possible, one of the elders, at least somebody in the congregation, and ask them what is needed most in this meeting. Because I think it's important for a preacher to go in for a gospel meeting and try to help the congregation with what they need. There's no need of preaching on witches because we don't have any of them here or anywhere that I go. I better back up on that and think a little bit, I guess. But we need to preach on what's needed. And almost without exception, I had two cases like this last night where I was talking with some people about some meetings on down later this year. Almost without exception, the person will say, just be sure that you preach the scripture. Just bring us some Bible lessons. And more in the last two or three years, it's that idea. We just need some Bible-centered preaching. That's sound doctrine. That's what that word doctrine means. It means teaching. In fact, in one of the verses, as was read from the New King James Version, where it says doctrine in the King James, it says teaching in the New King James, and then comes back and uses the word doctrine with the word sound a verse later. Sound doctrine. That's the kind of brethren we need in the church. And when people ask these questions about a certain congregation, is that a sound congregation or a certain preacher? Is he a sound preacher? You know, the way to answer that is he preaching and teaching the Bible, or do they uphold God's word? That's pretty well the answer. That's pretty well all the answer that there is to those questions when it comes to soundness in the faith. Let me share with you just a few scriptures along this line. In talking about the qualifications for being an elder in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine or sound words to convince the gainsayers. What do we need? We just need the sound teaching of the Bible. A little bit later on in the second chapter of that book, along about verses 1 and 2, includes a statement, speak those things which become sound doctrine. Well, go back and tie that to the previous point. Soundness meaning good to the core, all the way to the very core of it. What does it mean, preach sound doctrine? It means just preach the Word of God right to the core of it. Hold that forth and use the Word of God. Most of us have had the experience of seeing the power of God's Word when we will use it to answer people instead of giving our own opinions. Time and time again, and I'm learning to do this more as I get a little older, but time and time again, open the Bible and turn it to someone and say, would you read right here what the Bible says? If that person can be convinced, that will do it. What does the Bible say about it? Not what do I say about it, what do I think about it, but what is the teaching of God's Word? That is the sound doctrine that we're talking about. 2 Timothy 4:3 says there were those who would not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1:7 says we need a sound mind. Back in the Old Testament, Proverbs 14:30, we need a sound heart. Titus 2 and verse 8, we need the sound speech. One of those verses in that longest chapter, Psalms 119 verse 80 says, that help me to be sound in thy statutes. Another verse in Proverbs 3, verse 21 says, keep us where we are sound in wisdom and discretion. What does that mean? That means just trying to take the Word of God and preach it and teach it and live by it like it is. Just be sound in the faith. Sound in the faith. Well, you know, that's really simple if you stop and think about it. Sound in the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Sound in the faith, which comes by turning to the Word of God. That's what we need throughout the brotherhood today. If there's ever been a time when we need to just preach from God's Word, let God's Word speak for itself, it's in our time. And folks, I'm convinced that people are hungry for it. I wish I could share with you some of the comments that I hear in places that I go. People are hungry for just plain, simple preaching of the gospel. Sound doctrine, sound teaching. That's the kind of sound brethren that we need. But there is a verse back in the Old Testament, in Psalms chapter 89, that uses the word sound, that I want to emphasize in our thinking tonight. In fact, I want to read verses 15 and 16 of Psalms 89. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound. I believe that passage is emphasizing that we need people today who will sound their praise in the direction of God. Who will sound their praise in the direction of God. That may take the form of singing, as we've been doing. It may take the form of prayer, as we pray together, and in our prayers that we pray in a private way. But that sound that goes up to God is even called a sweet-smelling sacrifice. God listens to what we say and listens to our praise to Him. In the same sense as the smell of the sacrifice went up during the Old Testament times. And he says that needs to be a joyful sound. We need brethren today who will sound their praises to God. And not only that, but who will sound the message of God to the whole world. I've already mentioned tonight Romans 10:17. Just about all of you can quote it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you know what's in the next verse? I'm not for sure if you had asked me before this week that I could have told you what was in the next verse. But listen to it. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Here's a verse that's sort of a commentary on itself. Their sound went into all the earth. What do you mean? Their words unto all the ends of the world. We need brethren today who will sound praise in the direction of God and sound the message in the direction of all people in the world. You remember back toward the first of the lesson tonight, I said these last two need to be balanced. Let's come back to that and think about it for a moment. You've got the idea of sound in the faith and sound in expression to God and to others. There are times that people go out with a lot of zeal without much knowledge of sound doctrine. And there are times that there are people who are grounded in the truth and the sound doctrine, really grounded in the soundness of the teaching of God's Word, who wouldn't go down the street to tell anybody about it. And who won't say much to God in appreciation to Him for what it means. And so as we look at sound people tonight, let's get away from those first three. We don't need to be all sound. We don't need to be sound asleep, and we don't need to be like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. But we need to have these last two, and we need to balance them. Number one, we need to be sound in the faith. We need to know the Bible and believe it and stand in it. And then we need to be about the business of sounding that to the ends of the world. Telling people about Jesus, telling people about the plan of salvation, telling people about heaven and what it can mean, and at the same time sounding our praise to God. If we have that kind of balance between the soundness of the faith and sounding out the message to the whole world, we can accomplish more for Christ than we ever have. Perhaps it would be good for all of us tonight to take personal inventory. Are there times when I'm all sound? It can happen. Are there times when I'm sound asleep and just let somebody else do the job? It can happen. Are there times when I'm a sounding brass and I appear to be great on the outside, but I'm not really sincere to the core? It can happen. But we don't need either of those three. But as we look at ourselves, are we sound in the faith, base what we do upon the Word of God, and are we ready to sound the message to the whole world? That's the kind of sound brethren that we need in the church. And if you're not, maybe you need to think about your life tonight. Jesus came and shed his blood on the cross that we might have the remission of our sins. He had no sin. He had no reason to die for himself, but he died for you and me. When you and I are obedient to him as penitent believers, we're buried with him in baptism, there isn't a bit of power in the water to save us, but there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ when we obey and do what God has told us to do to receive forgiveness. Believe, repent, confess, and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. When we've gone astray, his blood is powerful enough to take care of those sins on a continuing basis if we live holding on to him as a penitent believer. But there are times when we make mistakes that involve others, known to others, and we're told to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. We really need to be sound people on sound ground to sound out the message to the world. And that just simply means being New Testament Christians, faithful New Testament Christians. If you're not, come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.